Next pasuk, v'shinantam levonecha. We spoke a lot about the word v'shinantam, and now the phrase v'dibarta bam. Also, very interesting phrase. The choice of the word ledaber bam should be lomod. This is a pasuk that you're looking for the word lomod and it doesn't appear. The Torah is skirting around all the word lomod. V'shinantam. We talked about why the Torah uses the word v'shinantam. Why does the Torah use v'dibarta bam? And the word bam is also v'dibarta bahem. V'dibarta bam is a very succinct, phonetically cuts things off. So today we're going to talk about the famous question, which everyone thinks first came up in the 20th century. Should you only learn Torah? Or should you broaden your horizons and learn other fields and other areas in this world? And if you are allowed to, what are the parameters? How do you justify it? How do you regulate it? So how should you navigate this issue? Now, it's not a 20th century issue. It's been given a 20th century expression. Torah Mada University, it was an issue in Spain, it was an issue in Europe in the medieval, it was an issue in Islamic areas. It's always just a question. And the truth was, there were always two different types of people. And a lot depended on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you, and what your interests were, what your background was, what you were exposed to. A lot of it had to do with luck and fortune. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made those determinations, where you should be raised and how you should be raised. So let's read a Gemara in Yoma, and we'll complement it with a Sefer. The Gemara in Yoma actually has a Machlokas, no surprise. Tana Rabbanu, v'dibarta bam. So bam, yesh lecha reshus ledaber. You test them at base. V'lo b'divar macherim. Okay, that's a pretty straight. Don't talk about anything else. V'dibarta bam. Bam, yesh lecha reshus ledaber. You talk about Torah, ha'divar ma'ilu. You don't have the right to, I don't know, go next year to Macaulay and study who knows what. You should be studying Torah all day. Bum. Okay, that already may have a heter because it's instrumental. You're not studying just to enrich yourself. You're studying to earn a living. It's just like 2,000 years ago, you had the reshus to go be a farmer. So today you have the reshus to go study a profession. What about if you want to read a book or philosophy or something of general interest? So, interestingly enough, okay, Rashi changes this first shita. We'll see a second shita. Rashi changes the first shita. And one of the fascinating things about Rashi is one thing you get from Rashi. He knew everything. And I don't just mean Torah, but he knew agriculture, he knew vintner, making wine, he knew tanning. Like, just when you see how deeply he drills into, especially in our Torah, into flora, fauna, manufacturing, wheat milling. Now, did he study it in the university? I don't know. We don't have any record that Rashi went to university. We don't have any record that Rashi sat like the Rambam and learned with some of the Islamic philosophers of the day. Rashi lived in France and Germany. But Rashi clearly was someone that learned a lot beyond, and it clearly helped him write the encyclopedic work on Torah, because you have to know everything. So Rashi in Yoma changes this statement, which sounds like you shouldn't study anything else. Bam, yesh lecha reshus ledaber, v'lo b'dvar macherim. Rashi says, lo b'dvar macherim means sichas yiladim v'kalos rosh, frivolous things, kids' stories, silly things. So according to Rashi, this first shita is not limiting the field of our conversation only to Torah, but it's just saying Torah and serious things, rather than jokes and social media and highlights and just serious-minded things. That's the only thing you can spend your time on. Okay, that's the shita. Now, either way, it's a very, very narrowly defined shita. You have to be learning Torah only, or Torah and serious only, nothing beyond. The next shita is Rabbi Acha. Rabbi Acha says, "V'dibarta bam, ase osan keva, v'al tasem arai. Make it keva. Don't make it arai. Namely, you can study other things, but just make your Torah keva." So here in the Braisa, in Yoma, you've got two very different reads of v'dibarta bam. The first read is exclusivity. V'dibarta bam. Bam v'lo v'dibar macherim. The second pshat, Rabbi Acha says, "No, just make your Torah keva. As long as your Torah is keva, you're on solid ground." So now the question is, how do you make your Torah keva? What does that mean to make your Torah keva? Two is, Beis Shammai also said, "Asei Torah Scha keva," not in the context of this pasuk. So one of them is keva versus arai. What is something you do most of the time? You have discipline, you have schedule, you have a routine. What is something you do, you read out of interest and curiosity? So, I used to like Hemingway. I never had a Seder in Hemingway. Somebody gave a speech last night. I caught them quoting Hemingway. They're very excited. I never had a Seder in him. here and there, I picked it up. I like reading Kafka. He comes to my bathroom. You can see it, you know, once in a while. But it's not like I feel like I have to go through the entire corpus of Kafka or the entire corpus. You know, it's something that catches my interest here or there. Whereas my Torah is something that I'm chayiv to learn, and hopefully it's not just out of chayiv. So one approach, if you take the Torah-only approach of the Tanakhama, then of course it's pretty easy. Don't study, don't read anything else. One approach is what you have a Seder in. Another approach is if you take a look at the Sifri. The Sifri, very similar drasha. Sifri says, Shalor Yehei, well, let's read the end of the Sifri. Quotes a pasuk in Mishle, V'hisalechacha tancheuscha, v'shachbachar tishmor alecha, v'akitzosahi tisichecha. We say at the end of a siyam, everyone should know tisichecha. Everyone gets it wrong. Not tishichecha, tisichecha. That's your conversation, siyach. V'hisalechacha tancheuscha ba'olam hazeh. V'shachbachar tishmor alecha ba'olam haba. V'shas misa. V'akitzosah b'imosah mashiach. V'hitisichecha ba'olam haba. Namely, okay, you may want to read some math. You may want to read some science, you may want to read some philosophy, you may want to read some literature, but it's not eternal. It's something that's just in this world will help you be a better person, better relationships, literature, better understanding of our universe. In 20,000 years from now, when you're in Shemayim, no one's going to care whether you read literature or whether Torah is eternal. Torah is bisalachacha in this world, hitisichacha in the next world. So the second way to make it keva is so you see it as eternal. So everyone here is coming back next year, right? Next year, right? So Sam, you're the only one. So you listen carefully. The best advice anyone ever gave me when I went to YU, I'll never forget it. I forget who gave it to me, but I'll never forget the advice, is he told me, always keep in mind what the difference is between Chaye Olam and Chaye Shah. Chaye Shah means things that are important, but they're important in the moment, but they have no durable importance. So ask yourself, in 500 years, and 50 years in your life, will they be important? So right now, you're taking a test. The test seems really important, and you have to study 3 weeks for it, and you can't do anything else because it's a test. But a little bit of wisdom, you know, then 30, 40 years will be successful either way. I don't remember the tests that I took. I don't remember the papers that I gave. They were necessary at that moment to get me to the next level. But the Gemara I learned that night, that's Chaye Olam, that's eternal. That's the Gemara that's going to last with me forever. So another way that you navigate this world of options and making Torah keva is not just that you schedule Torah, but that you see Torah as something that is eternal. So try to keep that in mind next year when you face all these things on your menu. You have to sometimes be involved in Chaye Shah, things that are temporal and ephemeral, but try to focus and at least know the difference between Chaye Olam and Chaye Shah. A third way to make it keva, this is an interesting language in the Sifri. So this sounds like the first shita, only talk about them. But why does the Sifri use this metaphor, you're a masa umatan? What's masa umatan? Business. Now, it doesn't mean you should do business in Torah. You're not allowed to do business in Torah. Masa umatan is a metaphor. When you're in business, it's interactive. You speak to someone else. You don't business, you have to buy and trade. You have to sell. Business is two people. You need to do business by yourself. You have to have a trader and a partner, someone to buy, someone to purchase. So when the Torah, when the Sifri is saying that your masa umatan should be in Torah, it means, you know, you sit down with someone, you've learned Torah that day, you've read, I don't know, a poem, a book of philosophy, a math, whatever. Like, what are you excited about? What really settles into your heart? What are you passionate about? And you know the barometer of what you're passionate about? What you'll share with someone. If I'm saying, I just read this incredible, incredible novel, okay, it doesn't mean it has to be exclusive. You can share the novel also, but If you don't share Torah and you keep Torah to yourself, then it shows that you're not as passionate about it. It's very interesting. A lot of people are now studying in the national religious, Zionist religious world. So there are a lot of people that, let's say, are no longer religious today. They're Chozer B'Sheila. So they're trying to find out what happened. Where did people go wrong? Where did the training not work? But what's interesting about it is, okay, people say just rebelling against the father and the parents. Everyone knows every generation looks to rebel against their previous generation, which is partially true. But if you look, they haven't really changed their politics of their parents. They're still very, very, especially in the settlers, they're very right-wing politically. And so if they were rebelling against their fathers, then they go and live, I don't know, in Tel Aviv and become ardent secularists and throw off. But it seems like that the politics stuck, but the religion didn't stick. Now, that could be, it's hard to know, these are very complex equations, that people are oftentimes more passionate about politics and they are about Torah. And kids are able to sense passion pretty quickly. So what happened at the table 20 years ago on the Shabbos table? Everyone had a great conversation about Netanyahu, who was also running for office 20 years ago, and Perez, and that was a big conversation. Kids, oh, this is something that my parents really care about. And then Dvar Torah, okay, so yeah, maybe give a quick var, okay, or maybe laughing at a quick var. So kids are smart. Kids sense, see through the screen. So they picked up the politics, always pick up the religion. So when you see someone, you want to share an idea, do you share Torah? That shows that it settles in. Or do you share non-Torah knowledge? It shows that that's more keva than Torah. So it's a way to generate keva. So these are three ways to generate keva. One approach is to take the Torah-only approach. Dvarta bam, bam v'lo b'dvar macher. You don't speak anything else. But then Rav Acha says, say Torah keva, v'lo atasem mirai. Make it keva. How do you make a keva? One is the obvious, the schedule. Two is, how do you see it? Do you see it as something which is more permanent rather than something which is more fleeting? Third is the lashon of the Sifri, shalei masa'acha umatancha elabahem. Doesn't mean you don't speak about everything else, but your masa umatan, as we say, your bread and butter, your conversation, your go-to conversation, should be about Torah. I have to say that throughout the years when I interview boys for yeshiva, very often I'm intrigued. I'll meet a boy who comes from a Torah home. The kid didn't really learn that much. He wasn't so serious in high school. It's not like he finished Masechtas. But he heard a lot at the table. He heard a lot of Spracht. Spracht in Yiddish means speak. He just heard a lot of what you would say in the Hak. You know, the table was always about Torah. It was always about Rabbanim. It was always about Svarim. The kid wasn't so serious, but... And I could tell that he's more prepared in some ways for yeshiva than a similar boy who also didn't learn that actively, but grew up in a home which there wasn't a conversation about it. So Masal Matancha is not just a way for you to generate your own passion, to demonstrate your own passion, but it's actually part of the training. You hear the conversation is about Torah and Torah ideas. Okay? Good morning. Dibarta Bam.